You're watching a massive high-speed collision in the architecture of the modern economy right now.
Oh, absolutely. It's happening at every layer.
Right. I mean, on the software layer, you have corporations throwing billions at AI infrastructure, but at the exact same time, they're aggressively dismantling their independent safety teams to, clear the runway for these massive IPOs.
Yeah, the IPO sprint is dictating the entire structural roadmap.
Exactly. But then you look at the enterprise engineers who actually have to deploy these probabilistic systems. They are frantically building firewalls to stop using them.
Because of the inference costs.
The exponential inference costs and complete regulatory audit failures. And while all the market capitalization is concentrating on agentic superintelligence or like $40 million designer EVs, our legacy physical infrastructure is actively failing.
Being defeated by jellyfish.
Literally defeated by biological swarms of jellyfish and $25 software-defined radios.
It's wild.
So we're pulling directly from the August 17th, 2026 tech dossier today, alongside raw feeds from This Week in Tech and Tech News Briefing. The mission for this deep dive is mapping that friction between hypercapitalized software hype and the unforgiving constraints of physical reality.
The central mechanism connecting all these sources, I mean, it's the rapid commoditization of foundational models.
Right.
And that commoditization is colliding head-on with the rigid, deterministic requirements of the physical world.
Let's start right at the apex of the hype cycle. The Verge, citing internal documents and the Financial Times, confirms OpenAI has completely dissolved its preparedness team.
Just entirely wiped from the org chart.
Gone. And this was the specific, independent, internal group tasked with assessing existential-level capabilities. We're talking cyber-attack automation, biological threat generation.
Isn't it big stuff?
Right. That oversight no longer exists as an independent entity. So OpenAI has fragmented those responsibilities into domains labeled bio and cyber, and they've embedded them directly into existing product development teams.
Which, honestly, this structural reorganization confirms the final phase of OpenAI's transition.
The lab era is over.
Completely over.
Yeah.
They are operating as a conventional, product-driven technology corporation now. They are optimizing for an IPO.
And the mechanics of this shift are what matter.
Yeah, think about it. When you have an independent safety board with veto power over a launch schedule, you introduce unpredictable friction.
Right, because if a model shows dangerous emergent capabilities during pre-deployment evaluation,
An independent preparedness team can just halt the release.
which jeopardizes quarterly revenue targets.
And investor narratives.
Right.
So by subordinating that risk assessment directly to the product managers who are responsible for shipping the models, you effectively remove that veto power.
Right. The safety engineers now report to the people whose compensation is tied to launch velocity.
Exactly.
Okay, but I'm going to push back on the premise that dissolving an isolated preparedness team is inherently a corporate failure.
Also.
Well, the dominant narrative treats this as a dangerous compromise, right? But an isolated safety team operates in a theoretical vacuum.
Sure.
In standard DevSecOps, I mean, we learned a decade ago that you don't silo security, you shift left.
Right, the old shift left methodology.
Exactly. You embed security engineers directly into the product team so they're reviewing commits in real time. They deal with the reality of the code being shipped, not theorizing about rogue scenarios in some white paper.
Okay, but
I mean, forcing safety engineers into the trenches with the product teams ensures they're mitigating actual deployment risks, right?
See, you're conflating deterministic software security with probabilistic model alignment.
How is it different?
Shifting left works for identifying, buffer overflows or patching SQL injections because the failure state there is binary. It's predictable.
Right.
Foundational models do not operate that way. The risks the preparedness team was evaluating, like a model generating a viable synthetic pathogen sequence, those are emergent properties of the neural network scale.
They aren't syntax errors.
Exactly. They aren't syntax errors in the code. So when you embed the safety engineers into the product team, their mandate shifts.
Away from the fundamental nature of the model.
Yeah, away from analyzing the model itself to simply patching the user interface.
Oh, wow.
They aren't altering the weights to prevent the model from understanding biology. They're just writing deterministic guardrails at the API level to block specific prompts.
Which is a totally superficial mitigation.
Highly superficial and heavily influenced by the pressure to ship.
Which brings us to the actual market pressure forcing that velocity. TechCrunch is reporting that Stripe is acquiring the AI gateway startup OpenRouter for over $7 billion.
$7 billion.
$7 million. An open router is a routing interface. It abstracts the API schemas of various foundational models, giving developers a single endpoint.
So you get OpenAI, Anthropic, Meta, all from one place.
Right. Stripe dropping $7 billion on a gateway signals that the foundational models themselves are aggressively commoditizing.
Oh, absolutely.
The enterprise does not care if the model is GPT-5 or Llama 4 anymore. They care about latency, uptime, and token cost.
The acquisition proves the value is no longer in training the frontier model. I mean, the CapEx required to train these massive models is scaling exponentially.
While the pricing power for inference is collapsing.
Collapsing towards zero, yeah, mostly due to open source alternatives. Stripe recognizes that the real revenue in a commoditized market is the toll booth.
Just owning the infrastructure.
Right. OpenRouter handles the load balancing across multiple LLMs and, crucially, normalizes the billing.
So developers pay one invoice for token generation across a dozen different models.
Exactly. And Stripe is integrating that directly into their payment processing architecture.
Which is brilliant for Stripe, but terrifying for OpenAI.
OpenAI is dismantling its safety friction because they are terrified of this exact commoditization. If the models are interchangeable, speed to market is literally the only remaining defense against a collapsing valuation.
And this friction over trust and architectural control, it's playing out in the regulatory feeds right now.
Yeah, This Week in Tech covered this.
Right. Episode 1097 analyzed the deep public and regulatory skepticism toward tech giants acting as stewards of safety.
Because we're seeing Anthropic pledge to embed cryptographic watermarks in its outputs to comply with the EU's AI Act.
While Google is actively allowing users to disable visible watermarks on Gemini outputs.
Because Google wants to prioritize user experience.
Exactly. There is no baseline standard for provenance because every single friction point you add for safety or compliance degrades the commercial viability of a product.
Especially in a hyper-competitive market, the regulatory bodies are demanding deterministic proof of origin from probabilistic systems.
Which the industry is failing to provide.
Failing completely. I mean, cryptographic watermarking of text actively alters the token distribution probability.
Which inherently degrades the quality of the model's output.
Right. Google is prioritizing output quality and user retention over regulatory alignment.
While Anthropic takes the performance hit for the EU.
Yeah. And these $7 billion infrastructure acquisitions, these massive restructurings, they're happening in an environment where the fundamental rules of deployment are totally contested.
How do we even prove a model made a specific decision?
We can't agree on it.
That structural failure brings us to the enterprise reality check. Because while Stripe and OpenAI are architecting systems to sell unlimited API access, the engineer is responsible for actually deploying these models in production.
They're trying to turn the tap off.
Actively severing the connection. VentureBeat published an analysis of the current RAG crisis.
Retrieval augmented generation.
Right. Engineering teams are currently slashing ORGA inference costs by up to 6x.
Which is massive.
The default architecture the industry has pushed for 2 years is failing completely in regulated environments.
Remind the listener what that default architecture is.
Taking a user query, executing a semantic search across a vector database, appending like 50,000 tokens of retrieved context, and routing it to a frontier LLM to generate an answer.
Right, throwing everything at the LLM.
Yeah. And it fails across three specific undeniable vectors, according to the VentureBeat piece.
First one is auditability, right?
Yeah, auditability. In a heavily regulated sector like finance or healthcare, a compliance officer demands a deterministic trace of logic.
If a loan is denied, you have to produce the exact rule that triggered the denial.
Exactly. But when an enterprise routes that decision through a RAG pipeline, the official system of record basically becomes the probabilistic model evaluated the retrieved context and generated a denial.
Which is legally indefensible.
Completely. You cannot reconstruct that exact decision path 6 months later.
Even if you freeze the model weights.
Right. Even if you freeze the weights and feed it the identical context window, the temperature variations and floating point math in the GPU cluster mean you are not mathematically guaranteed the exact same output.
Which compliance officers hate.
The second failure is raw compute cost at scale.
Yeah, API calls aren't cheap.
Enterprise teams are realizing that paying an API to process a 100 kilobyte context window just to answer a binary HR policy question.
It's mathematically ruinous compared to a standard database query.
Right. And the third vector is model drift.
That's a huge one.
VentureBeat documents that frontier LLMs are providing wildly inconsistent answers to simple deterministic queries over a 6-month timeline.
Because the latent space shifts during continuous training updates.
So the engineering solution currently sweeping the enterprise is the cascade architecture.
They're ripping out the direct LLM endpoints.
Aggressively building traditional heuristic layers. Regex filters, decision trees, standard SQL queries to intercept user requests.
Ensuring that 90% of traffic never even touches a neural network.
Right. It's the brutal realization that probabilistic tools just cannot survive in deterministic environments.
The cascade architecture works by escalating complexity only when absolutely necessary.
How does it route?
Well, a user query hits a deterministic rule engine first. If the intent matches a known parameter, it just executes standard code.
Cheap and auditable.
Exactly. If it fails, then it routes to a small, locally hosted, task-specific language model.
Like an 8 billion parameter model.
Yeah. And only if that small model flags low confidence does the system finally route the query to an expensive API like OpenAI.
So enterprise engineers are using machine learning to parse intent, but reverting to 1990s-style deterministic software engineering to actually execute the logic.
To control costs and guarantee auditability.
It's a brutal irony. The entire industry just torched trillions of dollars in CapEx building probabilistic agentic reasoning models.
And the engineers implementing them in the Fortune 500 are frantically writing deterministic rule-based wrappers just to keep them from bankrupting the IT department.
Right. The pivot to cascade architecture proves that the baseline thesis of the omnipotent, frictionless LLM is dead on arrival for a regulated economy.
It proves the future of software isn't a monolithic supermodel, it's an agnostic orchestration layer.
Which loops directly back to Stripe's $7 billion acquisition of OpenRouter.
Exactly. The value isn't in the reasoning engine anymore.
The value is the writer that decides when to use the cheap deterministic logic and when to spend money on the frontier model.
And this orchestration strategy, it's already hitting consumer hardware.
Yeah, Yanko Design just published a teardown of the Tecno Camon 50 Ultra 5G.
This is a $420 mid-range smartphone.
Right, but instead of locking the operating system into a proprietary foundational model like Apple Intelligence, Tecno built a local orchestration agent.
They call it Eloclaw, right?
Eloclaw. Yeah. And the agent operates entirely at the interface layer.
So when a user inputs a query, Eloclaw evaluates the context and actively routes the request across Gemini, ChatGPT, DeepSeek, or Grok in the background.
Bypassing the walled garden completely.
The Tecno device is basically the consumer iteration of the enterprise cascade architecture.
Device manufacturers who lack the capital to train a 70 billion parameter frontier model are competing by commoditizing the incumbents.
They're focusing purely on the routing layer.
Right. Dynamically shifting queries to the cheapest, fastest, or most accurate API available at that exact millisecond.
Which totally undermines the vertical integration strategy of companies like Google and OpenAI.
The user interface remains consistent, but the underlying intelligence is treated as a swappable, low-margin utility.
So we've established this massive tension in the software layer between pure pedigree and practical utility, right?
Right. And that exact dynamic hype and provenance overriding functional engineering is dictating the physical industrial design market right now.
Let's talk about the Ferrari.
Apple Insider confirmed that the first production model of the Ferrari Luce sold for $40 million at an RM auction in Monterey.
$40 million.
For an electric vehicle designed with heavy involvement from former Apple design chief Joni Ive.
The vehicle bears chassis number 0.
Right, sold through Ferrari's tailor-made program. But the critical technical data in that report is the physical reality of the chassis itself.
Apple Insider explicitly notes that while the vehicle achieves exceptional aerodynamic efficiency,
which is a hard requirement for EV battery range.
Right, it looks nothing like a Ferrari and has suffered a troubled existence since launch.
The engineering contradiction there is glaring.
Ferrari is struggling to translate its aggressive, high-drag internal combustion design language into the EV era.
Because legacy Ferraris rely on massive air intakes for engine cooling and downforce.
Exactly. You can't do that with the strict, low-drag aerodynamic requirements of a high-performance EV.
So the resulting vehicle abandons the aesthetic heritage of the brand, and it's failing operationally.
Yet someone still deployed $40 million for chassis 0.
We are looking at a physical 2-ton machine being valued on the exact same metrics as a tech founder NFT.
The ultra-luxury market has entirely divorced physical utility from asset valuation.
They're substituting traditional automotive engineering pedigree for tech industry design provenance.
The cachet of the Joni Ive collaboration is the sole value driver here.
The fact that the vehicle struggles functionally or fails to look like a Ferrari is completely irrelevant to the buyer.
Which mirrors the AI infrastructure market perfectly.
Right. Public markets and venture capital are throwing billions at the OpenAI brand based purely on historical pedigree.
Completely ignoring the structural dismantling of their internal safety mechanisms and the exponential scaling costs.
In both software and physical luxury, the provenance of the creator has completely superseded the functional utility of the product.
Meanwhile, the functional utility of our actual physical world is collapsing.
Which is the craziest part of all these sources. While capital concentrates on $40 million designer EVs and AI infrastructure mega IPOs, the legacy physical infrastructure keeping society functional is actively collapsing.
In entirely preventable ways.
Hackaday and Politico report that the Gravelines nuclear power plant in France was forced to execute an emergency shutdown of 3 pressurized water reactors this week.
And this wasn't a sophisticated state-sponsored cyber attack.
No. The cooling system intake screens were physically crushed by a massive swarm of jellyfish.
Just unbelievable.
The mechanics of this failure are tied directly to biological shifts overriding static engineering.
Right. A pressurized water reactor requires massive, continuous volumes of cold water from the ocean
to run through its heat exchangers.
But the warming of the North Sea has extended the breeding season for plankton,
which triggered an exponential population boom in the jellyfish that feed on them.
Specifically, Aurelia aurita.
Right. And when millions of these organisms are pulled into the plant's intake channel simultaneously, the sheer biological mass clogs the filtration screens,
starving the heat exchangers of water
and forcing an immediate scram of the reactor to prevent a meltdown.
But what makes this an architectural failure rather than just an isolated incident is the timeline.
Because Politico notes this exact failure occurred at Gravelines in 2025.
Exactly. French authorities deployed significant capital to install advanced filtration and monitoring systems.
Systems specifically designed to mitigate biological swarms.
But this week's multi-reactor shutdown proves those mitigations failed completely against the scale of the ecological shift.
The physical engineering of the 20th century just cannot adapt to the biological realities of the 21st.
And we are seeing the exact same systemic failure in digital bureaucracies.
Let's talk about the NHS.
The BBC and Hackaday are reporting that the UK's National Health Service, specifically the Blood and Transplant Department, is actively leaking highly sensitive patient medical data,
transmitting it in the clear over unencrypted pager networks.
The NHS publicly committed a massive budget to phase out these legacy pagers by 2021.
But the bureaucratic follow-through collapsed due to the sheer scale of localized cellular dead zones in hospital infrastructure.
And the technical vulnerability here is absurd.
These pagers operate on legacy 150 megahertz VHF frequencies, right?
Using protocols like POC-SAG, yeah.
Yeah.
Which have absolutely no cryptographic security.
Zero. And because of the proliferation of $25 software-defined radio dongles.
And open-source decoding software available on GitHub.
Right. Anyone within a few miles of a hospital can just plug a USB antenna into a laptop and instantly intercept unencrypted blood types.
Patient names, transplant schedules.
Just raining down from the broadcast towers.
It is the identical pattern of vulnerability we see at the nuclear plant.
Whether it's the physical infrastructure of a heat exchanger failing to adapt to warming oceans.
Or the digital infrastructure of a national health service failing to adapt to the commoditization of radio interception hardware.
The root cause is the same. We have built a society fundamentally reliant on fragile legacy systems with zero offline fallbacks.
Look at the peripheral feeds from TwitTo this week, too.
Oh, the DEFCON crowd.
Yeah, they're suspected of executing a fake hotspot attack on a Delta flight, intercepting traveler data in the air by mimicking the aircraft's internal Wi-Fi node.
And simultaneously, household pets are missing meals this week because the cloud servers for a popular smart pet feeder went offline.
Because the hardware lacks a local deterministic timer fallback.
Whether it is a French nuclear reactor, a British medical network, a commercial airline, or a literal pet bowl, the systems are drowning under their own complexity.
We are allocating our engineering talent and capital with severe asymmetry right now.
We deploy highly compensated engineering teams to build meticulous cascade architectures just to save fractions of a cent on LLM API calls.
But we fail to architect robust analog fallbacks for the physical world.
The biological ecosystem is shifting faster than our physical engineering can respond.
And open source interception technology is advancing faster than government bureaucracies can procure replacements.
The absolute top of the technology stack is accelerating at breakneck speed.
Completely detached from the rotting foundation it sits on.
So bringing it all together, we are tracking a simultaneous acceleration and structural collapse.
Yep.
Stripe consolidates the AI routing layer for $7 billion. OpenAI shreds its internal safety oversight to sprint toward a public offering. And Joni Ive's functionally troubled EV commands $40 million purely on design provenance.
While all of this hypercapitalization is slamming into the concrete ceiling of enterprise compliance,
where engineers are actively deleting probabilistic models from their pipelines just to survive regulatory audits.
And beneath all of it, our legacy infrastructure is being defeated by plankton blooms and cheap radio antennas.
Consider the ultimate physical constraint here for you to mull over. We are charting the intense commercialization of AI and the massive gigawatt-scale data centers required to train and run these foundational models.
Massive power requirements.
Those server farms require an uninterrupted massive supply of power and thermal cooling to prevent the GPUs from melting.
Right.
What happens when the cutting-edge superintelligence we are racing to build the models we expect to dictate enterprise software and consumer hardware relies entirely on a physical power grid that can be brought to its knees by a swarm of jellyfish?
Will the AI revolution be gated by safety teams?
No, it will not be gated by federal regulators either. It will be gated by our failing physical environment.
The physical grid is the ultimate hard limit on the software hype cycle.
See you next time.